Exodus chapter 16. And our text for today is the verse 15. But there in verse 15 we read, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." As the Lord Jesus walked beside two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, we are told that he ministered unto them. He did so by expounding the Word of God unto them. For we read, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Luke 24, verse 27. And so from these words, we know that the Lord Jesus can be seen in every book of the Old Testament scriptures. He can be seen in the types and shadows, and he is there described for us in the words of the prophets. Therefore, it should be a chief delight as we read the Old Testament scriptures to prayerfully search for him of whom Moses and the prophets did speak. What must it have been then? What must it have been like for those two disciples on the road to Emmaus to listen to the one of whom it was said, "Never man spake like this man"? To listen to him expound unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What must that have been like? To listen to Christ speak about Christ, to speak about himself, would have been a blessing of immense value. No wonder those same disciples later testified, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Well, that's what the Lord has done for us. He has opened to us the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, in reference to the manna which fell in the wilderness for the children of Israel. Because we read in the verse 15 again, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And when we go over to the New Testament and we look at the words of the Lord Jesus, here the Lord takes the manna that we've just read about and he uses the manna to speak about himself, just as he did with those Emmaus disciples. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And over in John's Gospel, and there in the chapter 6, and verse 31, we read these words, the words of the Lord Jesus. And he said, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And so there we have the Lord Jesus taking this Old Testament incident. Here we have the Lord Jesus taking the manna that we've just read about in Exodus 16 and verse 15. The Lord Jesus taking the manna and using it to speak of himself. And so we look at the manna in the Old Testament and we see the manna as a type of Christ. Because that's what the Lord himself did. And so we are on safe ground to say the manna is a type of the Lord Jesus. And as we look at the manna this morning, and in looking at the manna, we look at Christ. There is so much here in the manna that points us to the Lord Jesus. This morning I want to, first of all, to look at the arrival of the manna. We'll be dealing with this subject, Lord willing, next Sabbath morning also, because there's so much here. We'll just get to look at the first point. And the first point being the arrival of the manna. Having complained that they had nothing to eat, we see what the Lord said he would do for the children of Israel. Look at verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now we know from the opening three verses how the children of Israel complained and chided. And the very next verse we read, the Lord says, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Here we have, first of all, with regard to the arrival of the manna, we have first of all the promise. There's a promise. The Lord said, I will. So there's the promise. I will rain bread from heaven for you. The Lord promised Israel that he would rain bread from heaven. Regarding the promise, there you have God's will. I will rain bread from heaven. That word rain, I will rain bread from heaven. The word rain there means, and may be translated, send forth. To send forth. Which is interesting. Here in our authorized version, the word is translated rain. And it would be so easy just to read on over it. Just a small word. Four letters. But when you look at what the word means to send forth. The Lord is saying then, I will send forth bread from heaven. Isn't that what we read in Galatians regarding the Lord Jesus, who is our bread, who is our manna? Galatians 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of time has come, listen, God sent forth. There's the word. There's the meaning of the word rain. When the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And in the Lord's high priestly prayer, recorded in John 17, we read in the verse 18, the Lord says, "Thou hast sent me." Sent me forth into the world. And so God sending forth His Son into the world was likened unto the Lord sending forth the manna. The Lord promised to give Israel manna. And of course the Lord promised to send forth His Son. If you turn to Micah, the book of Micah in the chapter 5. And here's something that's interesting again. It all ties in. We see the unity of God's Word. Micah chapter 5. Here's the promise. A promise given that God was going to send forth His Son. Just as He promised to send forth the manna. And here we have in Micah 5 and verse 2, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Of course, it's the promise regarding the Messiah. It's the promise regarding the coming of Christ. But isn't it interesting where the Lord Jesus came to? We're told in the verse 2, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah." Isn't that where Christ, the Christ child, was born? Came to Bethlehem. Now, what does Bethlehem mean? Wherever you have a place name that begins with the word Beth means house. And so Bethlehem refers to the house of something. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Is that not interesting again? The Lord told the children of Israel that He would send forth bread unto them. God sent forth His Son. And where did He send Him to? Bethlehem, the house of bread. And what is one of the titles of Christ? He's called the bread of life. He said, "I am the bread of life." He's our bread. He is our manna. And lo and behold, the bread of life was sent to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And did Malachi also speak about the Lord Jesus being sent forth? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." That was John the Baptist. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." There's another promise. The promise of Christ being sent forth. And He was sent forth where? To Bethlehem. The house of bread. The one who is the bread of life. Notice further regarding this promise, God's will, I will send forth. We also have God's way regarding this promise. That is, from where did the manna come from? Well, we're told there in that verse 4, "Thus saith the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven." So the manna which Israel received was not a product of this earth. It came from heaven. It grew neither in the wilderness nor in Egypt. It came from heaven. It was neither produced by human efforts nor manufactured by human skill. It came from heaven. It descended from God, a gift from heaven, and it came down to earth. And how wonderfully again does this picture for us the Lord Jesus. Paul said of Christ, "He that descended is the same also which ascended up far above all heavens." Paul spoke about Christ descending, just like the manna in the wilderness. It descended from heaven. And speaking about the Savior, John the Baptist said, "He that cometh down from above is above all." John 3:31. He that cometh down from above. Same terminology is used to describe where the manna came from. Came from above. And the Savior himself said in John 8:23, "Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world." The Lord said, "Ye are from beneath," and he said, "I am from above." Christ came from heaven, just like the manna that fell in the wilderness. The Lord said, "It came from heaven." So you have the promise. "I will rain bread from heaven." There's the promise. And then you have not only the promise, you have the people. What did the Lord say to Moses? "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." For you. So from these words we can see that the manna was sent, first of all, to a chosen people. "I will rain bread from heaven for you." For nobody else, but for you. The manna was sent unto the children of Israel from heaven. And it was for them. Nobody else. "I will rain bread from heaven for you." The manna was sent to save the children of Israel from perishing of hunger in the wilderness. As they complained in the verse 3, they said that they were going to perish or die in the wilderness of hunger. And so the Lord said, "I will send bread from heaven for you." And the Father sent his Son into the world to save who? A chosen people. A chosen people in his great high priestly prayer. The dear Savior speaks about a chosen people. If you turn to John 17, that in itself is a tremendous chapter. The words of Christ and prayer to his heavenly Father. And we see that throughout the prayer, who he's praying for. In John 17, verse 2, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." There's the chosen people. He'll give life to as many as the Father has given to the Son. That's what the Lord's praying. So the Lord speaks about giving eternal life to all? No. Not at all. But giving eternal life to those who had been chosen and given to Christ by the Father. Look at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou, what, gavest me. Out of the world. Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. That's a chosen people. And they have kept thy word. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. There's the chosen people. For them that thou hast given me, for they are thine. Look at verse 12. Sorry, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Look at verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. If you go through that chapter and the number of references I have given, you'll find that those words, given me, are found 7 times. 7 times the Lord Jesus referred to those whom the Father had given to him. That's a chosen people. The Lord, as we pointed out before and pointed out again this morning, the Lord said, I pray not for the world. So who does he pray for? I pray for those whom thou hast given me. And who did he give eternal life to? To those whom thou hast given me. And so the Lord Jesus, like the manna sent down from heaven, the Lord Jesus was sent down from heaven for a chosen people. Regarding the people, not only were they a chosen people, I will rain bread from heaven for you, but we see also without a doubt they were a carnal people. How critical they were of the Lord and of Moses and of Aaron, criticizing and condemning them. Look at verse 3 again. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Verse 8, Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Talk about a carnal people. There they were. And yet, what did the Lord say? I will rain bread from heaven for you, for this same carnal, fleshly, wicked people. The manna was sent to a people who were very hostile to the Lord, to Moses, and to Aaron. And when God sent forth His Son, when God sent forth the Son from heaven into the world, He came into a hostile world, to a carnal, fleshly, wicked world. From the day He was born, from the day God became flesh, there were those who set themselves to kill Him and to destroy Him. Herod wasted no time in seeking the slaying of the Christ child. But then let us remember that you and I had our part in that same hostility. For when we read that the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, after what Israel had said about God, we would say that we were a rebellious people too. Did we deserve the bread from heaven? Did the children of Israel deserve the bread from heaven after what they had said? How they had criticized the Lord, how they had rebelled against God, did they deserve that bread? Oh, they complained to Moses, you brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. You know something? God would have been perfectly just to let them die in the wilderness because of their rebellion. But He didn't. And God would have been just to allow every one of us to go down to a lost sinner's hell. Because that's what we deserved. That's what we deserve. But instead, God sent His Son into the world to save a perishing people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6 and verse 8. Paul says, Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. You look at that catalogue of sin and crime against the God of heaven. You say they deserved to be allowed to wallow in their sin and die in their sin. That's what they would deserve. But then Paul says, and such were some of you, the Lord saved out of that group that Paul mentions, saved the people. What did he say? But ye are washed. Washed in the precious blood of Christ, of the one who was sent down from heaven to save a perishing people. Only the blood of Christ could save such sinful wretches as we were. Only the blood of Christ. Nothing else. Paul did say, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, all because Christ came into the world to save sinners. So regarding the arrival of the manna, we've seen the promise, I will rain bread from heaven. We've seen the people, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Then we have the place. The place. Where did the manna come to? We know where it came from heaven. But where did it come to? Well, look at the verse 1 of chapter 16 of Exodus. Verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin. That's where they were when the Lord sent the manna from heaven. And surely it would be impossible to select a more fitting title to accurately describe the character of the world into which the Son of God descended. For what is this world? It's the wilderness of S-I-N. Wilderness of sin. That's what this world is. It's the wilderness of sin. Leaving the celestial land where he was worshipped, praised and adored, he came into a wilderness of sin. A wilderness where he was hated, hunted and hounded. Leaving the bosom of the Father, he came into this wilderness of sin. Leaving the place where he heard the voices of holy angels in chorus, praising his wonderful name, he left all that. Come into a wilderness of sin. A wilderness where the only words he heard were those words that came from the lips of wicked men, and they chanted, crucify, crucify, crucify. We have no king but Caesar. Leaving the place of his eternal abode, he came into this wilderness of sin, a wilderness where he had no house, no home, not where to lay his head, except at the last, his crucified body was laid in a borrowed tomb. So regarding the arrival of the manna, we see the place to where Christ came, a wilderness of sin. We've seen the promise, I will rain bread from heaven. We've seen the people unto you. We've seen the place, the wilderness of sin. And then we see the period. Everything about the manna points in a wonderful way to the dear Lord Jesus. Consider now, just when, what period of the day did the manna appear? When did it come? Verse 7, and in the morning, ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For what? For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what we are we? Ye murmur against us. You'll see it in the morning. Verse 8. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. Verse 12. I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And verse 13, and it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning. So there's the period of the day that the bread appeared. Notice, first of all, the darkness. How significant this is. And again, how it points us to the Lord Jesus, the bread of life. When the manna was sent forth to the children of Israel from heaven, they were in darkness. It was night. They were in darkness. Isn't that what it says? In the morning, when you get up, in the morning when you leave your tent, the bread will be there. So that means it fell at night. Because the bread was there in the morning. And so the children of Israel were in darkness whenever the bread fell from heaven. Because it was there in the morning. And how typical that is of us. Weren't we in the darkness? Weren't we in nature's darkness? Weren't we in a state of spiritual darkness? There was no light in our soul at all. Paul reminds us, Ephesians 5, verse 8, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, because prior we walked as children of darkness. Isn't that where the grace of God found us, lost in a state of spiritual darkness? There we were when the gospel first was preached to us. We were in darkness. When we were told about Christ, there was no beauty that we should desire him. Because we're in darkness. But then the Lord was pleased to open our eyes, because he is the light of the world, and Christ and God grace. We receive Christ as the bread of life. Colossians 1 verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the manna came in the darkness of the night. Christ came into a dark world and found us in a state of spiritual darkness. But if there was darkness, there was also a dawn. Because again, the Lord said, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And when would they gather it? We've already seen. In the morning. Did we see? Four times pointed out in the morning. Well, there's the dawn. And so what does that show us? What does that teach us? With the manna, came the dawn of a new day. Here we see our dear Savior once again. The arrival of the manna meant that the night was past and gone. And the Lord said, in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And sure, when we receive Christ, the bread of life, what was it? Sure, it was the dawn of a new day. All our days prior to that, we had lived in a state of spiritual darkness. If you were saved when you were 20, you'd lived 20 years in spiritual darkness. If you're saved when you were 30 or 40, you lived all those years in darkness. But when Christ, the bread of life, came into your heart, it was the dawn of a new day. It was the beginning, what? Of a new life. And here for the children of Israel, the Lord said, in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And that meant the coming of the bread was the coming of the day. And the darkness was gone. So it was with us. From that moment in time, we no longer walked in darkness, but rather, Romans 6 and 4, we walked in newness of life. Regarding the arrival of the manna, we have seen the promise, the people, the place, the period, the morning. And then you have the presentation. There in verse 15, our text, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. So what was the bread? It was a gift from God. Is that what he says? Is that what Moses says? This is the bread which the Lord hath given you. No. No, they hadn't earned it. It wasn't a prize that they had won. Instead, it was a token of God's grace and love. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Without money, without price. It's a gift. It's a gift. And here once again we see our dear Savior. For wasn't he given as a gift? We all know perhaps the best known verse of Scripture in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, what? He gave. He gave. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And to any today in this meeting who knows not Christ, God is offering you the gift of a Son. He's offering you the gift of eternal life. That you no longer walk in darkness. That you will never spend eternity in darkness. He's offering you a gift. The gift of his Son. Because that's what he is. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Paul's talking about the Lord. and describes him as an unspeakable gift. The word unspeakable. That word unspeakable means inexpressible. Inexpressible. In other words, we cannot fully express what the Lord Jesus means to us. We can't put it into words and do it justice. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In other words, then, the Lord presented the bread to the children of Israel. It's a gift. It's for you. The promise, the people, the place, the period, the presentation, the perception. Moses told Israel what they would see when the manna arrived. Verse 7, "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we, that ye murmur against us?" Notice what Moses said. And in the morning, that's when the bread would be there. In the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. So the glory of the Lord accompanied the bread. The bread was there in the morning. And here Moses says, in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. And in verse 10, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." The glory of the Lord. As we pointed out last week, this is the first time, that we read about the glory of the Lord. Not only in reference to Israel, but in all of Scripture. First reference to the glory of the Lord. And here we see how accurate is this detail regarding our type, regarding Christ. The bread is the type of Christ. And when the bread was there in the morning, and the children of Israel looked upon the bread, we're told they would see the glory of the Lord. Now listen. When you turn to John chapter 1, what do you read? You read, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory." The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. With the coming of the manna to the wilderness of sin, the children of Israel saw the glory of the Lord. With the coming of Christ into the world as God manifest in flesh, as the manna from heaven, we are told we beheld his glory. What a fascinating study. And really, we haven't even got looking at the manna itself, which we'll do, Lord willing, next week. And we see more of Christ and more of him when we look at the manna itself. But when the children of Israel saw the manna, they saw the glory of the Lord. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, "For God, who hath commanded His love, His light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we look at Christ, we see the glory of God. When the children of Israel looked upon the man, they saw the glory of God. As I said, what a fascinating study. May the Lord bless what we have learned thus far about the manna. May the Lord bless it to our hearts. And even, why not for next week, do your own study and read chapter 16 of Exodus and read about what was said about the manna. And we will, as it were, compare notes next week. Lord willing, let's bow in prayer. Oh dear Lord and loving Father, we bless Thee. We bless Thee for the bread of life. And how that manna was bread of life to the children of Israel. Else they would have died of hunger in the wilderness. And we thank Thee, dear Lord, for sending forth Thy Son into the world, into this wilderness of sin. O Lord, to save us from perishing in the darkness of our sin. Dear Lord, may we meditate upon Thy Word. May we think about what the Lord is, what He is to us. He is the bread we're able to feast upon. He's a gift sent down from heaven. Lord, write the word upon our hearts. May we be encouraged by it and led on to search the scriptures, for these are they which testify of me, the Lord said. Be with us now, dear Lord, as we leave the house of God. Bless us, Lord, throughout this day. Grant us all traveling mercy. And Lord, return us this evening to Thy house. Again, spend time around the Word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.